Praise God. She comes from her side and saying, the Lord bless you.
Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Just maybe seated
for a moment. Praise God. We're going to turn to Hebrews. I'm going to take John's two texts this morning. Oh, that's all right. Hebrews 2 and 17, Hebrews 3 and 1. And I was really blessed this morning, and some of the brothers said, and I want to just continue on the night to try and say something as well. And really, and you know, having a pain the night, sitting here the night, didn't realize it, sitting there the night, I had a pain. And I'm telling you this morning, I told Brother Mark to come in there, I didn't know what way to sit in that chair, I was sore. All morning through the meeting, I was so sore down one side. I put a disc out in my back, as you know, a few months ago, and it seemed to come all right again. And I believe the Lord touched me, but a couple of days ago, I don't know what I'd done, but it went again. And I believe the Lord was healing this morning. And I hadn't a pain the night. Sitting there the night, there was no pain. And I didn't realize it till I was sitting. And I thought to myself, you're not sore, you know. And I give God all the glory. He can catch a healing. Thank God, isn't it wonderful? Praise God. And I tell you many times, and I said it this morning, many times we want to go quick, but God sometimes doesn't work like that. The Lord sometimes takes His time according to what we think, but there's no time with the Lord. Isn't it like Lazarus? They said, if you only had him in here, everything would have been all right, but you're 4 days late. But Jesus raised him from the dead. He wasn't late. He was on time. And the Lord's never late. He's always on time. Now we can't explain why He lets things happen. He can't explain it. But that's up to God. God does it. But He wants us to trust Him anyways. Praise God. Now next Sunday night, Brother Andrew Moraes. I was going to say Andrew Beecham. Andrew Moraes, and I hope to have Andrew again this year as well, Andrew Beecham, but Brother Andrew Moraes will be with us next Sunday night. And Brother Andrew's been in Nepal, and I've been trying to work out, is Nepal part of India? I'm not sure, but Nepal or Nepal, I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right, but Brother Andrew's at powerful meetings over there, and he sent me some clips from some of the meetings over there, and the Lord's moving over there, and you want to see them worshipping the Lord and praising the Lord in the meetings over there and houses and things. Now there's quite a people. Looked like a big house or a big room, maybe a hall this size, a room, and there was lots of people in it. It was filled, and the worship of the Lord, and singing, lots of young people. And we just thank the Lord. So Brother Andrew's going to come next Sunday night, the Lord willing, and share with us what the Lord's doing over in Nepal. So you pray for the service next Sunday night, and pray that the Lord will just speak through our brother. Praise God. Pray also for our meetings, that the Lord will have His way. And I've been hearing so many wonderful testimonies over this last couple of weeks. And I've been really so blessed, you know. I know a wee man this long time. And he was telling me the life he lived and everything. And he's coming 70 years of age and he's got saved. And I'm telling you, he says he doesn't know how his wife put up with him for all them times because he was a rascal. He doesn't know how she stuck him. He says she should have left him, but she didn't. She didn't leave him. She kept praying for him. And nobody thought this wee man would get saved, but I'm telling you, he got saved. And he knows he's saved. And heard some wonderful testimony. And I've given Brother Idris a tape. I want him to copy it. Who's ever heard of Sidney Murray? Well, it's his wife giving her testimony. Now, I heard part of it, but I never knew it was as good as what it was. She was an alcoholic. I never even knew that. She was brought up with the brethren, real strict brethren. She lost her mum when she was only a wee girl, about 6. And her dad brought them all up, and he took them to church every Sunday. And she said on a Sunday, they weren't even allowed to cook a dinner. They weren't allowed to do nothing on a Sunday. It all had to be done on Saturday before it. Nothing was to be done on Sunday, strict brethren. And she was brought up like that, but at 14 years of age, she got away from the things of God. She became a drunkard. And you want to hear that woman's testimony. And I won't ruin it, but we'll have the tapes for Brother. And we want to thank Brother Regis for even the tapes this morning and all the recordings and stuff he does. The Lord bless him. See, he takes all these different gifts in the church. I can't do all these things. There's things I can't do, and maybe you can't do, but somebody else can do it. And we need to pray for every member of the church. It's like the wall wall of stones are all different, but you can't take one out because it's still part of the wall. And we just, the Lord bless you, brother. And we appreciate what you're doing, praise God, and I want you to know that. And I want you to get a hold of this testimony. Lily Murray, do you hear a testimony how God saved a drunkard? She drunk every shilling. And Sydney got saved first. And that was his first conversion, his own wife. And if you know anything about Sydney Murray, you know God used him. Now, praise God, he left the brethren. He joined the Pentecostals. Now that the brethren were after me, I used to go with them, you know. I was a brethren too at one time. But I thank God for the brethren, for the foundation and the scripture that they hold till. Praise God. But then I thank God for the Pentecostals, for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. God brings you along, doesn't he? A fellow said to me one time, there's a fellow in Scotland I know, and he used to take me to the brethren, and the fellow said to him, what is he? That boy McKinstry. And he says, well, he's a sort of a brethren, Baptist, and an Elam all the care. That's the only way I could describe him. That's what he told me. But where the brethren believe the Bible, I'm a brethren. Where the Baptists believe it, I'm a Baptist. Where the Elam believe it, I'm an Elam. But thank God, you know, really, I'm the child of the King, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. The child of the King, praise God. God's good people everywhere. Praise God. Let's turn to the New Testament. Just keep your seats tonight. Two scriptures. Hebrews 3 and 17. I'll try not to keep us too long tonight. Praise God. Hebrews 3 verse 17. Or sorry, 2 and 17. Hebrews 2, 17. Near the back of the Bible. The best way is to go back to Revelations and just come back the way it's about 5 books. And like a brother John says, it's hard to find really Hebrews sometimes, but verse 17 of Hebrews 2. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And my text is the high priest tonight. And things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And then if we can read verse 1 of chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. And there's one wee verse, Paul the Apostle says it, chiefest of all apostles, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads again, praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word and for all these wonderful testimonies of your saving power. Lord, we would pray we would hear more testimonies even amongst us and amongst our children and our families. And all that's near and dear to our hearts, we plead the precious blood of Christ upon them tonight. Help us for this scripture, Lord, and this text. Bless and strengthen and encourage your people tonight. And may we see no man save Jesus only. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want us to see, firstly, I want to say herein the sufficiency of Christ's priesthood's evidence. The sufficiency of it, the strength of it, the power of it is evidence in these scriptures. There's no priest like this priest. This priest, your brother said, powerful thing this morning. Adam come off the earth, earthly. Paul quotes in Corinthians 15 verse 47 that says the first man is of the earth, earthly. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. So Jesus came from a higher source. From heaven. He didn't come from below. He came from above. Far above all. Like the sermon of Brother Freeborn preached, far above all. That's why. Because Jesus is far above all. Adam is of the earth. Therefore he's earthly. And we bear the image of the earthly. Adam. And we have an image just like Adam tonight. We're flesh and blood like Adam tonight. But then there's a wee scripture says, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Yeah, we're going to be changed. Mm-hmm. And just as we're shown the image of the earthly tonight, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. And this priest, because of his sufficiency, is going to change us. We're going to be changed. He's coming for his people. This high priest is coming for his people. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend. That then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed in a moment. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. God is going to change these vile bodies like unto His own glorious body, because as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. I want you to see the sufficiency of this priest tonight. This high priest, Jesus Christ, superior and greater to all priests. When I studied the book of Hebrews, and I went through it quite a bit, that's the thing that stood out for me. All the other ones are but types and shadows. Something greater was coming. And that something greater we heard about this morning. And we heard that the angel said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." The Lord Jesus Christ is greater than all. His name is far above all other names. The Bible goes this far. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name given under heaven among men.
Amen.
Only the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ that there's salvation. His name and His person is far above all. His person's far above all, you know. We heard this morning how He was tested, tempted, and tried. And yet without sin. Yet without sin. So He could succor us, strengthen us, bless us. Thank God tonight for Christ's sufficiency is evident. To be supreme over and above all priests of Christ and high priest and great priest. So He's a high priest. The rest of them are not high priests, they're just sloth. But this high priest is written here for a reason. He is a high priest. For He come from above. He come from the highest heights. The Bible says that He lowered Himself a little lower than the angels. He condescended. He came down. He lowered Himself a little lower than the angels. He took upon Him the form of a man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He done the Father's will to the letter. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but Thine.
Hallelujah.
That's what Jesus said. He did it for me and you. He's the high priest. He's far above all. In Jude 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 9. Look, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a real accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And it is the Lord that can rebuke the devil. When we are having a difficult time, and we heard it this morning, when he lies to us, and he will lie to you, I thought it was powerful. How that the devil came to Jesus and talked to Him. Didn't he do it with Job too? Didn't he come before, and Job been a type of Christ? Did Satan come before God and condemned and accused Job? Does he fear you for naught? That's what he told God. And you remember the word of God says, when a man says the devil never talks, he's never read Revelations. Because the book of Revelation says the devil is an accuser of the brethren.
Amen.
Now you're not talking about the brethren assembly, them as well, but all the brethren, all the saved,
yes,
all the believers.
Yeah.
He's an accuser. That means he accuses you.
Yes.
He'll accuse you in your own thinking. He'll accuse you to whoever he can accuse you.
Yes.
That's his job. But you see, this high priest have perfected forever.
Amen.
Them that are sanctified. Because he was offered up once and for all. And he sat down. My, I love that, you know. I love the fact that he sat down.
Amen.
You see, when you finish your day's work, the first thing you do is sit down, isn't it? You're glad to get sitting. And that signifies you have finished the work. And the Bible says he sat down forever. Meaning the work's finished. That's what it means.
Praise the Lord.
The work is absolutely, fully completed.
Amen.
That's why he said it's finished.
Amen.
Finished once and for all. Your salvation's complete. You're complete in Christ.
Amen.
Perfected forever.
Yes.
Them that are sanctified. That's God's word. Because of this high priest. Perfected forever. Ark shepherd or chief shepherd. That's also what it means. High means ark or chief shepherd. And he is the high priest and he's the ark or chief shepherd as well as the high priest. He's the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown that fadeth not away." I tell you, the Lord's a crown for his people. The Lord himself crowned today, you know. Do you ever hear the saying, "The brow that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now."
Amen.
And the one that is crowned with glory is going to crown his people with a crown of unfading glory.
Yeah.
He's going to crown his people. He's going to appear with a crown for you that fadeth not away. I tell you, it's not one that moth and rust corrupt. That's the Lord's crown for the Lord's people. He's the master builder as well. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builder thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And he goes on to say he's building on Christ. He's not building on wood, he's not building on hay, he's not building on stubble, he's building on Jesus Christ. And Paul warns the church saying, and it's a warning to all the church of God today, don't try to build in any other.
Amen.
For it's wood, hay, and stubble. The foundation that's been laid, Paul went further, Paul said, "Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel than I preached, let him be accursed." He says, "If I myself return and preach different, don't hear me." In other words, this is the real gospel you're hearing. This is the real message. It can never be changed. That's why it says in Revelation, the eternal gospel, the everlasting says, gospel. It never can be changed. It doesn't need changed. Do you ever hear the old saying, "Don't change it if it's not broke"? Well, this can't break. For it's forever.
Amen.
Forever. Settled forever. The master builder. In the Hebrew, the phrase translated high priest is great priest. So Jesus Christ is not just a high priest, but he's a great priest. There's lots of priests, but I wouldn't call them great. I'd call them anything but great, wouldn't you? They're only men. But this man is great. Great in that he took the sins of the world upon himself upon the cross. Great in that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. The bars couldn't hold him. He broke them asunder. Great in that he took the keys of the devil and he hung them on his own side. Great in that he rose on the third day triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Great that he appeared unto them for 40 days after he was risen from the dead and showed himself amongst them as signs and wonders and many miracles, and they feasted and fed with them. Great in that he said, "I'm going away, but I'll send you another comforter." Great. Oh, he's great tonight. Great in the fact that he's coming again.
Amen.
And just like he said, and the scripture told us, he would come the first time, he's coming again the second time, without sin, unto salvation.
They'll
never put him on the cross this time.
Amen.
But he's going to meet us in the air.
Amen.
The true believers are going to be caught up. Rapture is going to take place. That's the word for it. Rapture just means caught away, thrust up, caught up, catching away. God's coming for his people. Think of it this evening, people. The Lord's going to take you away. You're going to go. I tell you, you're leaving. Leaving. I tell you, boy, that's something, isn't it? Like my father-in-law says, not a height nor her of you'll be left, you. But you'll all go. He'll take you just the way you are. You'll not need to change or do nothing. The Lord will just take you. No matter where you are, the Lord's coming for you. And if you know someone that's saved, or a wee child that's went before the time, the Lord's coming for them. They're going to be in heaven. I tell you, isn't it wonderful of what Romans says in Romans 8:1? There's now no condemnation, no judgment to them that's in Christ Jesus. Thank God tonight we've been judged. He took our judgment. The penalty of sin came upon him. We were under the penalty of sin. The curse and penalty of original sin was on every man and woman. The Bible says, we're born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity. We come into this world speaking lies. But thank God what it says in Romans words, for sin did abound, grace did much more abound because of this great high priest. Thank God tonight. Leviticus 21 and 10 tells us, and he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated and put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. And this is talking about the natural priest in the Old Testament. And we heard this morning, this all types in, you know, what our brother John read from Luke this morning, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord was on this great high priest. Amen. This great shepherd. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him in fullness. He never received the Spirit by measure, but the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord.
Amen.
And he came to set the captives free. Don't put the prison doors. To set at liberty them that are bound. He came to bring deliverance.
Amen.
Jesus came for that. And he said in Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he still can do it. Thank God he can still do it.
Amen.
Thank God people are still getting saved. Thank the Lord for it. And the same person translated in English, chief priest, is in the Hebrew, head priest. Oh, there's lots of priests, but Jesus is the head priest. The chief priest.
Amen.
He's the head priest.
Amen.
Even if you translate whatever you want, apostle, evangelist, teachers, there's a fivefold ministry, but they're not the head. Jesus Christ, the head.
Amen.
The Pope's mistaken.
Yes.
The Pope is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the only true head of the true church.
Amen.
The Pope's Antichrist.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because he's saying he's in the place of Jesus. On his seat is written Vicario Filii Dei. It's on his own chair. And that means in place of the Son of God. You cannot replace Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Like we heard this morning, there's no sell-by date. There's no superseding Christ.
Amen.
Just like the Church of Rome says they succeeded Paul or Peter. Peter was it. Peter never was in Rome, you know. Paul was, Peter wasn't. But they make it the truth of old says. And did you know, did you hear the latest news? The Pope is now selling new indulgences. After all these years, he's at it again. You can go and buy them and then you can have a wild weekend. Drinking and smoking and you'll go right to bought your indulgences. Did you ever hear tell of it in modern times? That's the very thing that Luther was against. Luther took the 95 theses and he nailed them to the door in Wittenberg. And he met a man on his way, drunk, that was one of his parishioners. And he said to him, my man, why are you drunk? And he said, I've bought indulgences, I can do what I want. I've got freedom to sin over the weekend. The Pope's given me. Luther was raging. Raging with a godly rage.
Yes.
He took the hammer down on the nails and he battered her up. Under the 95 theses, I have a copy of them at home, they're great. And I tell you, Luther preached justification through Christ.
Amen.
And that was a mighty message.
Amen.
And I tell you, still a mighty message.
Amen.
God still blesses it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I tell you, I don't need the Pope's indulgence, for I'm serving the high priest, the great priest.
Amen.
The only true priest. The only one that had power over death, power over the grave, and power over purgatory, and whatever they want to call it, hell. You know there is no purgatory. It's a man made. You know, and then they have your purgatory, and then what about limbo land? You ever hear of it? It's another one. People that haven't just made it are in limbo land. There's no scripture for these things, but it's sad for the people that are taught that. And the pain. My Bible says, come without money. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Come without money.
Amen.
You don't pay to get in this. You come without money. And Jesus stands with open arms. And he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank God tonight for the gospel's free. Hallelujah. Aaron was the first that had this title given to him. And I'm not going to go through all these different things about Aaron tonight. There's so many of them. And you know that there are sundry duties and dignities for these priests, which all type Christ proper to the high priest for the time being. And I want us to look at some of these tonight, and I want you to see how Christ done all of these, that the Old Testament priest done, Christ fulfilled them all. The first one to enter into the most holy place, Leviticus 16:3. No ordinary priest could enter in there. You know that even in the Old Testament, it had to be a special priest. And let me tell you, how many remembers when I preached in the tabernacle? Excuse me, probably a long time ago now. But you see, that priest, the first thing he did, he started off naked. That's the truth now. He had to bathe himself. He had to wash himself. Then he put on the white garments, and he'd a whole layer of different garments had to go on, and every garment typified Christ. The white spoke of his righteousness. And then you know the blue spoke of the Lord from heaven, and the scarlet of his blood, and the purple is royalty. And then you see, when you come down to the bit for the gold woven through it, it's a supreme deity. Yes. And then you have the 12 stones, the 12 tribes of Israel, and then you have the Urim and the Thummim on the shoulder. And then you have the what was on his head and everything, the mitre and all, what went around the top, and the mind of Christ, all of it Christ. But you see, he had to enter into the holy place, Leviticus 16. And they had to go in there each year and continually offer for the people again and again and again. But this priest offered up once for all. Never to offer again. Not only did he die on the cross, but you remember, think of this, get this picture in your mind. See this earthly priest that I'm preaching about from the Old Testament here for a moment. Help me over here, Matthew, for a minute. Now here's Matthew, this earthly priest, and I want you to see Matthew's entered in to the holy place, the tabernacle, and he's entered in. And Matthew's in there, and Matthew's doing the works, and you have the candle, and you have the show bread, and you have all these things. And at the same time, Jesus is on the cross. And while Jesus is on the cross, Jesus screams out, "It's finished!" And when Jesus screams, "It's finished," the veil in front of Matthew, when he's doing his work, leads to the holy. While he was in there, you think of the shock of that priest.
Yeah.
He's in there doing the work, and the veil in front of him rends from the top to the bottom. And you remember, it's woven at the depth of a man's hand and thickness. It's not a wee curtain that can hang up here. It's thick, it's made, it's large, it's big, it's heavy, it's strong. A man couldn't rip it. And you know, if you're tearing a garment, where do you tear a garment from? You tear it from the bottom upwards. That's the easiest way to tear it. But God tore it from the top down. He rent it in two. The Bible says he rent the veil in two. In twain, it says. He rent the veil. And God was saying, when Jesus said, "It's finished," you're retired.
Yes, amen.
You are now retired. Mm-hmm. There'll be no more need of an earthly priest that goes in once a year. Your work's done. It's rent. We can now enter in. Thank God for that. Christ has done it. I don't need the Pope nor one of his earthly priests, for I have one far greater, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Exodus 28 and 29 you'll read, "Till appear before God for the people." And that priest was going in there to offer blood, and he couldn't go in without blood. And the Bible tells him, without the shedding of blood, in Hebrews 6, I think it is, there's no remission of sins. And he went in with blood, and he sprinkled the veil 7 times. And the pots and the pans, he sprinkled 7 times with the blood. And Jesus entered into heaven with his own blood. For the Bible tells us in Hebrews, as the earthly things are sprinkled by these, so are the heavenly. Fella said to me one time, he was fairly educated, and I knew I was just from Ireland here, Northern Ireland, I'm an Ulster man. You know, but you know, it doesn't matter where you're from here. If you go to England or somewhere, they call you Paddy. Isn't that right? It doesn't bother me. If my name was Paddy, I wouldn't care. Patrick's a good name, you know.
St. Patrick was a man of God. How many knows that? Certainly was. There's nothing wrong with the name Patrick.
God bless anyone that is Patrick. It's a real good name. But I'm telling you, see, he thought, you see, what sorted me out. And he says to me, you see, Brother Tom, you've it all mixed up, you know.
I says, is that right, brother? Maybe you could fix me. And he says, I could.
He says, flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. I says, I know that. Says, when then you preached that Jesus' blood entered heaven, I said, I did. I says, now I want you to come with me for a moment. And I want you to understand that the day you were born a sinner by nature, you were a sinner by birth. Your blood's corrupted. Because of original sin, the bloodstream of man's corrupted. But I says, Jesus Christ was not born like me and you were born of a woman.
Hallelujah.
But the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the child Jesus, the Lord Christ.
Amen.
That means the anointed Messiah.
Yes. Amen.
And I says, his blood never had original sin in it, for it is God. God's Son, the only begotten Son of God. There's supernatural blood within his veins. It never congeals. It doesn't dry up, but it's full of power and potency.
Yes,
and my Bible says that the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly.
Amen.
And he entered in once for all.
Yes,
to bear the sins of many. Thank God.
Amen.
That the blood of Jesus entered heaven. Reached heaven.
Amen.
He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. And like what Reinhard Bonnke told the old atheist on the television program that Bonnke set up, you know, they were going to make a fool of him. And they invited him on the program. And they said, Bonnke, you're always preaching about the power of the blood. But why is all these things happening and it doesn't seem to be working? And he said he prayed for the Holy Spirit just to speak to them. And I'm going to tell you, there's testimony about Bonnke in a minute that happened over here. I tell you, Bonnke was praying and the Lord spoke to them. And he said, well, you see, the shop down the street sells soap. And you can go and buy a bar of soap. And you can have the soap in your pocket. You can have it in the bathroom. You can have it wherever you like. You can testify that you're the owner of a bar of soap.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't wash in it, you're still dirty.
Yes.
But he said, if you apply the soap,
mm-hmm,
it'll work. And if you wash in the soap, you'll be clean.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness, because I've applied it by faith. I've come to the fountain by faith. And I've washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Thank God. It's cutting the heads for a wee woman the other day. You say you're cutting hedges for an awful people, Lamb. Cutting heads for a wee woman the other day. She goes to the Elam. I think she said Market Hill or somewhere. I'm not sure. But she goes to the Elam anyhow. She's a widow woman. Her husband was a great man. He's a policeman. He's blown up. Time of the Troubles, they said he'd never walk. But he did walk. It was a miracle. He'd done things they said he'd never do, and he'd done them. And God mightily used him. And this wee woman was telling me anyhow. And I was telling her a tape of a young fella's testimony that I had heard. How he gloriously got saved. And she said, he's my nephew. I thought that was powerful. But better than that, she said, you remember Bonnke came over here? How many was at the meeting? I was at it. Well, when Bonnke preached that night in the meeting, he stopped. And he said, the Holy Spirit's speaking to the young man up on the balcony now. And he called him out. He said, the Lord's at work for you. And the Lord's going to take you around the world and the Lord's going to use you. That's that young man. That she's was her nephew. And she says to me, Tommy, he was a wild young man, but he got saved that night when Bonnke called him out. And he's been all over the world preaching. That's the power of God. That's what our God's able to do. That's what this great priest We could all wonder the night at our own children, but I can tell you, God can get a hold of them. He got a hold of that young man. And you know, some people thought it wasn't a great meeting, maybe, when Bungie come that time. They done all they could to, you know, they sung too much. They done lots of things they shouldn't done, but God still used a servant. It maybe could have been better, but look what that young man did. What God did with him. Got a hold of him that night. And God saved him. Now my time's almost up. I'm going to finish in a moment. But let me just tell you this. To bear the sins of the people, Exodus 16:38. The priest was going to his attack to bear the sins of the people. The Bible says that he had to offer for himself and then the people. But Jesus never ever offered for himself. That's why he's greater. This earthly priest in the Old Testament offered for himself, then for the people. Like Job offered for himself and for his family. But Jesus never offered for himself because he had no sin and he knew no sin. But he took upon himself the sin of the world. He dealt with sin. And Paul then said, O death, where is thy sting? O grief, where is thy victory? For it's swallowed up at Calvary. Amen. Jesus took it out.
Amen.
We've no fear of death. That man, I'm telling you, Tommy's almost 70. And he says to me, Tom, I had a fear of dying. And his wee sister died. And he had a fear of dying. And the minister come and spoke to him. I'm glad there was a man of God spoke to him. Come and talked with him. Some of them wouldn't talk to you today. Sure they wouldn't. It's all just a wage and a job. I was talking to a fellow the other week and he told me the salary that some of them's on. They only preach about once a week and they play golf most of the week. And I says, my goodness, I preach 3 times most weeks. And I've got an invitation somewhere else to go and preach there as well. Pete Peasley, you know, said one time he did more before he ate his cornflakes than some people do in a week. That was true. Did you ever see the things he did do? And I'm not saying I didn't agree with all they'd done, but God still used them. But I tell you, we need to be about the Lord's work. No other work we need to worry about, only the Lord's work. We need to put the Lord's work first. You need to be a living testimony wherever you go. But in another place, up on a roof. One day it's happened, a fella painted a roof. And he was from South Africa. And his son was killed over there and he went through an awful time. And he got away from the Lord, but the Lord restored him. And the Lord's brought him back. And he's a powerful testimony. I tell you, there's people out there, you know, in this wee country that God's worked on. You don't know the half of it, what God's doing. I honestly believe God's letting me hear these things to wake him up a bit. But you can get in the wee corner, you see, and you can think nothing's happening. And God's saving people everywhere. Right before us. Right around us. We don't even know about it. We need to lick up for God. We need to take every opportunity for Christ. And don't be ashamed to say you're saved. Tell it. That's the thing that we Lily said, Lily Murray. She said the first night Sydney gets saved, he comes straight home and tell her I'm saved. And she says, Sydney, you're drunk. Doubt you're drunk. And he says, I've never been more sober. I'm saved. She thought he was joking. And she says, well, I'm not getting saved. And she didn't want nothing to do with it. I'm not going to tell you no more. I want you to hear the testimony yourself. Don't only ruin it for you. But her brother will have a tape for you and they'll hear the Lord willing. Here's another thing that in Leviticus 16:12-13 to offer incense. That means praise, worship, incense. I tell you, the incense in the Old Testament was a type of the prayers of the saints, but this is greater
What do you think of that? You've maybe a devil that's been telling you nobody's praying for you. Well, the Lord is. The Lord's praying for you. The Lord's thinking about you. Yes, you.
And the Lord loves you. He loves you. You don't know how much the Lord loves you. I tell you, when God turned his back on his own son on the cross, and he let him die, suffered and died alone, so that we could be saved. God loves you tonight.
Here's another thing to make atonement. Atonement had to be made. There had to be someone made to redeem us back. And Jesus made atonement. Leviticus 16:32 and Leviticus 13:2. To judge of uncleanness. And I tell you, we were unclean, but when we come to him, he cleanses us. He sanctifies us for the washing of the water. There's loads. There's a sanctification of the word, sanctification of spirit, and the sanctification of blood. There's three sanctifications. You know that?
Didn't Jesus say you're now clean through the word I've spoken to you?
Amen.
And the Bible says you're sanctified by the blood.
Amen.
And the scripture says you're sanctified by the spirit. Thank God for it.
It's all God's work. All of them. Thank God for sanctification.
In Deuteronomy 17:8-12, it tells us to determine controversies. I tell you, Jesus can determine controversies, can't he? All these things the priest done.
Now, why I'm reading you these, this is the earthly priest in the Old Testament. He was ordained to do these things. Christ can do them all. Brother, I have a controversy. Take it to Jesus.
He'll cure it for you.
Numbers 6:23, to bless the people. And I tell you, Christ is styled as the high priest. Just a couple of moments and I'm closing. Just a few wee thoughts here I want to give you and I'm going to close. For the excellency's sake, to show that he was the chiefest and most excellent of all. For excellency. Do you ever hear somebody saying, you got an excellent mark, a scholarship? Do you ever hear somebody saying, I'm talking about excellency? Well, Jesus was excellent. Excellent in all things.
Amen.
That he was the chiefest and most excellent of all. To demonstrate that he was the truth, whom Aaron and other high priests only typified. They typified him. When you look at them and see the good, it's showing you something greater to come. And you know the Bible says, God in Hebrews 1, in some dry times and divers manners, God spake in times past unto us by the fathers through the prophets. But hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Yes.
No more sundry times and parts and partials. But God himself came. For lo, it is written, he cometh in the volume of above to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the last, Christ. Nothing
Amen.
To follow this.
Amen.
This is excellent. This is the greatest.
Amen.
This is the most supreme. This is the highest. Praise God for it. To assure us that all those things which are enjoined to Aaron as a high priest were really in their truth performed by Christ. For Christ entered in the true holy place, which is heaven itself. I'm reading you one scripture and I'm closing. Hebrews 9:24. I love this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I tell you, he's entered into heaven itself to appear for us. I have confidence tonight. You have confidence tonight. You have one that's in the glory. And he's praying for you. And he loves you. The Lord really loves you. I tell you, that's something, you know, when somebody really loves you. You know the striking thing about Lily Murray's testimony was, and she said it several times, and she says, I'm not ashamed to say it. She says, it would never have worked with me in Sydney, but she says, I really love Sydney. And I'm not ashamed to say it.
She really loved him.
And I tell you that you think of it, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish,
but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God loves this whole world. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
What's verse 17 say? We all quote 16. What about 17? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I tell you, Jesus doesn't want that man or woman to be lost. He wants them to be saved. And I tell you, we need to have a love for sinners. For we are only sinners saved by grace.
I know we don't know the words of that song. I wish we could learn it, brother. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be all the glory.
I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. With your heads bowed and your eye closed in this service, if you want prayer tonight, slip your hand up to the Lord and I'll pray for you as we close the service. God bless you. God bless you. And if there's someone listening in tonight, while you're listening in to this message, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus really loves you. And he can deliver you and change you and heal you and save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our Father and our eternal God, we humbly come before thy throne of grace tonight, for we may find help and mercy in the time of need. Father, we have preached that you are the great high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Father, you see the hands raised in this service tonight. I pray for everyone that's raised their hands especially tonight, that thou indeed will meet their every need and answer their prayers and bless and touch them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless my sister, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Bless my brother, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, for someone listening in, whatever get a hold of this message, may the grace of God move on their lives. And may the power of the Holy Spirit deliver them. Break the fetters that hold them. And set them free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And loose them from every infirmity. In Jesus Christ's name. I come against the strongholds of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And I pray for complete deliverance. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your touch upon our bodies. Lord, continue to heal these frail vessels. Lord, we may be weak, but thou art strong. We look to you tonight, for you're our rock. You are our healer. You said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious gospel, for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Bless the wee boys in this meeting, and the wee girls, and all their children that's near and dear to their hearts. Oh God, this evening. Move with that fella. Move with that wee girl. Lord, wherever they are tonight, speak to them. Move upon them by the Holy Spirit. And bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. We plead the blood over them. The blood of Jesus our Savior. We plead it over their lives. We ask you'll cover them with the blood. Keep them all safe from the wiles of the enemy. Bless our brother that's away, Lord. And holidays are traveling. And Father, for our brother Andrew and the Paul, may the hand of the Lord be mightily upon him. We do pray for our brother John McFadden as he prepares to come over, that thou wilt bless him and use him. For brother Howard and her sister June and their children, will you bless them? Will you keep your hand upon them? And Father, will you do them good as they come in and go out? And Lord, for each and every one in this room tonight, bless us as we go out and bless us as we come in. Multiply what Christ's mighty name. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As our brother Gary comes, praise God. God bless each one.
And that's all.